Good morning.
Morning.
Amen.
Good to see you this morning. Open your Bibles, if you will, to the book of Galatians, chapter 2. And I just got a voice. I just heard it come in. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 11. We've been talking about the Apostle Peter and his life and ministry and how it plays an effect on our lives. This morning, I would like to just take time. This is going to be the last study for this month on Peter. I'd like to take this time this morning to talk about what I feel is Peter's greatest fault. Now, I can imagine most of you are going to make the assumption, as a lot of us do, to say that, well, Peter denied the Lord three times. That's got to be his greatest fault. And that would be a valid argument. Certainly he did deny the Lord three times. My personal opinion is that was a personal fault that did not really have an effect on other people. It affected his own life, his own conscience. He had some difficulties with it. Certainly it was a fault of Peter. It may be the greatest, depending on your perspective. Certainly Peter had many faults, just like you and I. And he also had many victories. After all, Peter did walk on water, even though he sunk afterwards. But he did do some things. So, and I'm not bringing this out as to disparage his character anyway. Just pointing out that Peter had some temptations and weaknesses and faults, just as you and I do. And hopefully, we can learn from those experiences. And by his experiences, help us to overcome our own temptations and our own difficulties. If you look in Galatians and chapter 2 and verse 11, I'll begin reading. But when Peter was come to Antioch, this is Paul speaking, I withstood him to the face because he was to be blamed. For before that certain came from James, he did eat with the Gentiles. But when they were come, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them which were of the circumcision. And the other Jews dissembled likewise with him, insomuch that Barnabas also was carried away with their dissimulation. But when I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, I said unto Peter before them all, if thou, being a Jew, livest after the manner of the Gentiles, and not as do the Jews, why compellest thou the Gentiles to live as do the Jews? And if you'll read the entire book of Galatians, you're going to see, and the book of Acts, and especially chapter 13, 14, and 15, you're going to see that there was a real problem in the early church over this idea of circumcision, this idea of Gentiles or heathen coming into the church and being made a part of the body of Christ. It was very difficult for the Jewish tradition or those that held the Jewish tradition, including Peter, to actually receive these Gentiles. Now, you and I being Gentiles, you know, we kind of look at this, well, what's the problem? You know, what are we, you know, taboo or what's going on? But for those that have tradition or have been raised in a certain tradition, it was a great and difficult thing to overcome. And we're going to see this is what happened to Peter himself. There is something called peer pressure that goes beyond generations. Every generation faces it. And men and women are afraid of what others might think of them in their actions. And when it comes to the gospel, there's a lot of pressure. Now, we in America, we're used to everybody, you know, everybody's entitled to their own opinion. You can have your own religion. We have a lot of freedoms here, and that is a blessing of God. But you have to realize that's not the case in every generation and every country. Some people, just to walk into a door that does not, a door of a church or a building that does not have the name of their particular denomination on it, that is a huge step. I've seen people where they would wait out in front of the building, like a sentry. They're just looking around to make sure there's nobody around that could possibly know them, and then they would rush inside the door to get inside, only to come out after the meeting and bump into their families. And then they had some real difficulties. You and I probably, we really don't experience that. Maybe in your, maybe if you came out of a Roman Catholic tradition or some other tradition that's very strong. I know Jehovah's Witnesses will suffer great persecution if they quote unquote leave their tradition. There's difficulties. I understand that. And you might relate to Peter and the difficulty that he had. I just want you to know that it's not an uncommon experience amongst believers throughout the world and throughout generations that they are persecuted for their faith because they're no longer following the traditions. How about this one, just to bring it home? Give up Christmas. Yep. Now, what's that going to do to your family and the problems that you're going to encounter if you no longer celebrate Christmas? You can imagine the reactions, right? What have you told your family? No, I'm not going to put up a Christmas tree. No, I'm not going to put a little baby Jesus on the wall or anything like that. No, I'm not going to do that. You can imagine the uproar. You probably already experienced that. I mean, just opening this can of worms, you can almost feel the tension already going through the room because, you know, hey, it's not Christmas time. What are you talking about this? You know, we tolerate it once a year, you know, but any more than that, we're not going to talk. It just brings tensions. And you got to understand, I'm not condemning Peter because I have great empathy with him. I understand his dilemma, and hopefully you will too, that he had this dilemma because the tradition around him. Now, I want to lay the foundation to try to give you a picture from the scriptures, the pressure that Peter was under. Because what was going on is Peter, he got a vision, he understood some things, he had spent some time with the Lord, he was kind of figuring it out that the Lord is no respecter of persons and that the gospel is also for the Gentiles, but the brethren ain't quite got a hold of that yet. And so he got this little bit of liberty when he was with the Gentiles, but then he got word, you know, here comes James and some of the brethren, and he got really nervous, just like you would get nervous, right? If your family was coming over and you're not kosher anymore, you would have the difficulty, you're trying to get out the back door before mom and dad get home and find out, you know, what I've been doing. And so I want to lay that foundation to understand the prevailing thought. And I'm going to give you a lot of verses, so I hope you can keep up, all right? Acts in chapter 10, verse 28. This is where Peter, we'll come back to this. He got a vision. The Lord told him, rise, slay and eat. He gets in the dispute. He said, not so, Lord. I've never done this. I'm not going to do it. And here's where we pick it up. The brethren or the people from Cornelius, servants have come to tell Peter to come, and we pick it up in verse 28. And he said unto them, ye know how that it is an unlawful thing for a man that is a Jew to keep company or come on to one of another nation. But God hath showed me that I should not call any man common or unclean. Therefore came I unto you without gainsaying, as soon as I was sent for. I ask therefore for what intent ye have sent for me. Do you understand what Peter said here? He's saying, look, I'm in your house, but it's unlawful for me to be in your house. That's what he's saying. I'm a Jew, and I really shouldn't be here. The unspoken words is, I'm a nervous cat to be here. But, you know, I got this vision from the Lord, and I think the idea is I'm not supposed to call you unclean or uncommon, but I just want you to know that I'm nervous. What am I doing here? Can you sense the nervousness, yeah? Look down in chapter 11 in verse 1. And the apostles and brethren, this is the bigwigs, the apostles and brethren that were in Judea heard that the Gentiles had also received the word of God. Now, they hadn't got this vision yet, yeah? They hadn't heard this. And when Peter was come to Jerusalem, they that were of the circumcision contended with him. He walks in, you know, in our modern vernacular, he walks in the church building and there the elders are waiting for him. Hey, we have a meeting with you. We want to talk to you. And he brings some of the other leading brethren. They're going to have somewhat of a conference with you. Yeah. And that's what was going on with Peter. They're contending with him. What were you doing? Thou wentest in with men to men uncircumcised and did eat with them. You had Polish sausage with them. What in the world? How can these things be? And then you, if you read the rest of the chapter, Peter, you know, you could just, I have a vivid imagination. I can see Peter say, well, you got to understand, brother, you know, I had this vision, you know, and this vision, I the Lord put these things down there and, you know, I just figured out, you know, and you know, they did believe and I got some witnesses here, call in Brother Joe and Brother John over here. They saw that the Spirit of God descended on the Gentiles just like us. And you know, you just, the fear. Can you imagine? The fear. He's trying to defend his position and the fear. Look in Acts in chapter 22. Now most likely if you have a disagreement or you leave the tradition of your family to follow the gospel or to follow Christ, most of your difficulties here in America are going to be verbal. It's going to be peer pressure. It's going to be, you know, the tension that you might feel. It's probably not going to be physical, although I would not exclude that possibility of the physical. But notice what it says here. And again, I'm just laying the foundation so you understand the tension. Acts 22 and verse 21, Peter, or Paul, now he said unto me, depart, I will send thee far hence unto the Gentiles. And they gave him audience unto this word, and then lifted up their voices and said, away with such a fellow from the earth, for it is not fit that he should live. And as they cried out and cast off their clothes and drew through dust in the air. I mean, these people are indignant. They're calling for the life of Paul because he made the simple statement that God told me to go and preach to the Gentiles. Can you feel the tension? I mean, these circumcised Jews, they are upset that the gospel, the word of the Lord is going to be carried to the Gentiles. Up to this point, they listened to him. Paul was speaking in Hebrew. He was talking to them, kind of like the time with Stephen, you know, the whole message they're leading. And then at the end, boom, they're all upset and they end up stoning him. This is, look in John chapter 4, even in the time of Jesus. Verse 9. The woman at Samaria. Then the woman of Samaria, then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, askest of drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? I mean, the woman thought, man, this is strange. I got a Jew talking to me. What's going on here? Not only talking to me, but asking me to bring him some water. And why? What does it say? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. It was common wherever you went. Janice and I had an opportunity to visit our daughter when she was living in London, and they were living in the Jewish quarter of London. And you could walk down the street, and these very zealous Orthodox Jews would be walking around. They would have their curly hair, and they'd have their little box, and they'd have their hats and whatnot, and they're walking. And as you walked, as you approached them, you know, we're from Texas, you say, howdy, or howdy, how you doing, or whatever. You know, they just look straight down. They are not even going to look at you. They just kind of walk like that because they don't want anything to do with you. Are you getting the tension? This is the tension. Peter was brought up in this tradition. He was brought up, you know, to turn his eye and definitely not to eat. You know, if you had to pass a Gentile, well, you could go home and wash and scrub up three times or seven times or go dip in the River Jordan or whatever you had to do, but just to get cleansed, but to actually sit down in their homes and eat with them. John, the same chapter, verse 20, she says, our fathers worshipped in this mountain. Ye say that in Jerusalem is the place that men ought to worship. Jesus saith unto her, woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So there is that tension. There was a tension. You guys worship God in a different way than we do. You don't have the same traditions that we do. There was that tension. John chapter 18 and verse 28. Then led they Jesus from Caiaphas unto the hall of judgment, and it was early. And they themselves went not into the judgment hall, lest they should be defiled, but that they may eat the Passover. So if they even went into this hall, if they just walked in the hallway or this hall, then they would consider themselves defiled. And they didn't want to do that because, you know, Passover's coming up. We got to keep our traditions. And, you know, if I get defiled, I'm not going to be able to take the Passover. And that's going to be a big no-no. And so the pressure. Look in Luke in chapter 9 and verse 51. And it came to pass when the time was come that he should be received up, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. And let me just say here, can you imagine Peter and the other disciples, the conflict of interest that they had when Jesus says, I must go through Samaria? What they're thinking, what in the world is going on? I mean, they are just, you know. And he then sent messengers before his face, and they went and entered into a village of the Samaritans to make ready for him. And they did not receive him because his face was as though he would go to Jerusalem. So it's sort of mutual feelings here, yeah? And when his disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, Lord, wilt thou that we command fire to come down from heaven and consume them, even as Elias did? But he turned and rebuked them and said, ye know not what manner of spirit ye are of, for the Son of Man has not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. And they went to another village. So James and John, they seize upon the opportunity. They're already at nervous cats going into Samaria. They're not quite sure what's going on, why the Lord's having them going there. And then when they found out the Samaritans would not receive them, they became indignant. This is our opportunity. Maybe this is why God has brought us here, because now we're going to call down fire from heaven to destroy these rebels. Let me say there was animosity between these groups of people. Yeah? Both sides. And this is what Peter grew up with. That was his tradition. Acts chapter 21 and verse 20. Paul's coming back. And he comes into Jerusalem. When they had heard it, they glorified the Lord and said unto him, thou seest, brother, how many thousands of Jews there are which believe, and they're all zealous of the law, and they are informed of thee that thou teachest all Jews which are among the Gentiles to forsake Moses, saying that they ought not to circumcise their children, neither to walk after the customs. Even Paul gets under the thumb of these circumcised Jews that are putting pressure on him. So you can imagine. Acts in chapter 10 and verse 45, and they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as come with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. They were in shock. How can this be that these uncircumcised, unclean Gentiles are given the same gift as the Jews were given? It was a shock to them. And so this is the pressure. In a small point, I try to paint it. I hope I laid a good foundation for you that Peter was under. He's got this vision. He sees that he's supposed to preach the gospel to the Gentiles, and he's over there eating with them. And now, you know, when he finds out the brethren are coming, he's running out the back door. And basically, it's peer pressure. I don't know how to phrase this correctly. I want to say like forced hypocrisy. I mean, the pressure that he feels that he's under, that he becomes a hypocrite. He portrays himself in one way, but then acts, or he says one thing, but then he does another thing. Now, really, I'm not sure exactly how this timeline works with Acts chapter 15. I don't think it's really important. The fact is that Peter was not consistent. And It caused a dissension in the church. It caused problems, even have an effect on such a noble person as Barnabas. It had an effect on him, and it caused problems within the church. And this is why I feel this was Peter's greatest mistake, that he was inconsistent. He played the hypocrite in the sense that he said one thing and did another. And Paul rebuked him, not only privately, but before them all, because the rebuke had to be for everybody. And because he's making the point, he says, why compellest thou the Gentiles to live as the Jews? Yeah? And, you know, they had a big debate in Acts chapter 15, and Paul clearly stood up and said, listen, the gospel is for the Gentiles as well. And if you read the whole book of Galatians, Paul says, listen, if anybody preaches any other gospel that I preach, let them be accursed. If an angel from heaven appears unto you, hello, Muhammad, hello, Joseph Smith, if an angel of heaven shows up at your doorstep and tells you any other thing, you be accursed. In fact, if we the apostles, if I myself come and tell you anything else than that revelation that I got directly from God, if they tell you anything else, let myself be accursed. How about that? How about that for our generation that says, you know, all roads lead to heaven? Paul said there's only one way, and I'm giving you the message from God, and you better listen to this message of God, otherwise there's going to be a curse. Can you imagine the pressure? Now, I looked in the scriptures, and I'm going to skip over a lot of my notes here if you don't mind. I'll give you the references. I looked in the scriptures to try to find where in the law it says you could not go to a Gentile's house, or where you couldn't keep company with a Gentile. Now, we do find places that you can't make covenants with them. You can't marry their daughters. You know, you can't become be part of them, but a lot of times it has to do with their idolatry. And he's saying, don't be partakers of their idolatry. Come out from among them in that sense. If you'll look in Deuteronomy chapter 7, I'm not going to read these. Exodus chapter 34, 10 through 16. Exodus 23, 31 through 33. I'll just give you a few quotes here. Thou shalt make no covenant with them, nor with their gods. Thou shalt not give your sons unto their daughters. Leviticus 18 and verse 24, I'll read this one. Defile not yourselves in any of these things, for in all these the nations are defiled, which I cast out before you. That is, they were idolaters, they were chasing after other gods, they were sacrificing to other gods. The land is defiled, therefore I do visit the iniquity thereof upon it, and the land itself vomiteth out her inhabitants. You shall therefore keep my statutes and my judgments, and shall not commit any of these abominations, neither any of your own nation, nor any stranger that sojourneth among you. For all these abominations have the men of the land done, which were before you, and the land is defiled. And the land spewed not you out also when you defile it, as it spewed out the nations that were before you. For whosoever shall commit any of these abominations, even the souls that commit them shall be cut off from among their people. And if you go and read that chapter, you're going to find out that one of the abominations was sodomy. They were doing things that's going on in America today. And he says, I don't want you partaking of it. They were sacrificing their children unto these gods. He said, I don't want you partaking of them. Don't get involved with them in that sense. Don't make covenants with them. Don't become them. Be separate. Now, we can figure this out. I think Paul got a pretty good perspective of it. Jesus himself, he says a lot of things about this very thing. And he got himself into trouble with these same Jews because of what he said. Look in Luke chapter 4. This is the beginning of Jesus' ministry. He goes in, he's reading. And he said, verily I say unto you, no prophet is accepted in his own country. But I tell you of a truth, many widows were in Israel in the days of Elias, when the heaven was shut up for 3 years and 6 months, when great famine was throughout all the land, but unto none of them was Elias sent, save unto Sarepta, I hope I pronounced that correctly, Sarepta, a city of Sidon, unto a woman that was a widow. And many lepers were in Israel in the time of Eliseus, the prophet, and none of them was cleansed, saving Naaman, the Syrian. And all day in the synagogue, when they heard these things, they were filled with wrath. Because Jesus is saying, look, the prophets of old went on to these Gentiles, these other nations, and ministered unto them. Didn't make covenants with them, didn't marry their daughters, but went there and ministered unto them. And when these circumcised Jews heard this, they became indignant and they were filled with anger. Yeah? Kind of like somebody preaching on Christmas around here. You just start getting filled with anger, right? When's this sermon going to get over? What? I'm going to... You might not even say nothing, but then, you know, the chatter goes on and there's tension. I wish I could think of even a stronger example. I'm not sure Christmas is a strong enough example, but it does make a point, right? Because people have different viewpoints on it, different traditions, they say. Well, that's just your perspective, or that's just your tradition. My point isn't Christmas today. My point is the tension that something like that causes, yeah? They thought they were the ones, but listen to what John the Baptist says in John 3 and verse 9. And think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father, for I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. Do you remember the promise to Abraham? That all the families of the world were going to be blessed in Abraham. Not only the Jews. Yes, the Jews are going to be blessed. Yes, Abraham's descendants were going to be blessed. But all the families were going to be blessed in Abraham. And these Jews had gotten a tradition that they took from the Old Testament and they just carried it to what I think is too far. And it became real. It became more important than the Word of God. And they came to Jesus and they said, why did thy disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they wash not their hands when they eat bread. But he answered and said unto him, why do ye also transgress the commandment of God with your tradition? And there's that conflict, the word of God and tradition. Tradition can be good or bad. In this case, it's bad. Yeah? They've gone too far. They were supposed to be proclaiming the glory of the Lord amongst all nations. But they got to the place that they wouldn't visit them, they would turn their heads, they wouldn't eat with them, they wouldn't talk with them, they didn't want anything to do with them, they held them and condemned. That was not God's plan, not even in the Old Testament. John 8:39, they answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus said unto them, if you were of Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. Verse 44, you are of your father the devil, the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. So these Jews are thinking, you know, we have our DNA comes from Abraham. We did the check, we did the blood test, we got it back in the mail after 2 weeks, and it says we are descendants of Abraham, we are Abraham's children. And Jesus says, no, you're not, you're children of the devil. Yeah? You see, they got so occupied by the outward that they forgot the spiritual. And if you listen to all the sermons of Jesus Christ, what he's saying, he wasn't trying to do away with the law. He was explaining the law that they had missed for so many generations. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 6. Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify whom? The heathen through faith. Preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall only the Jewish nation be blessed. No. In thee shall all nations be blessed. So when they which be of faith are blessed with faith, be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. There it is. And this is the conflict that Peter had. He began realizing this truth, that he was putting the dots in order, but it was still a conflict. And he thought, you know, I'm free of this. I can be with the Gentiles now. It's not wrong, but that old tradition was still hanging there. And when he found out the brethren came, boy, I got to get out of here. I think the general idea of the Old Testament is what it says in Jeremiah, thus saith the Lord, learn not the way of the heathen, and be not dismayed at the signs of heaven, for the heathen are dismayed at them. Don't be superstitious like the heathen. Don't be setting up God for rain and for clouds and for sunshine and for water and for crops and for luck and, you know, gotta have a saint for a taxi and a saint for, you know, for the marriage and a saint for the kids and a saint for the dog and a saint for the cow or whatever. Don't be like them. You're a holy people. Be ye separate, saith the Lord. Be ye holy, saith the Lord. Jesus said in Matthew in chapter 6, but when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Same chapter, verse 32. For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth ye have need of these things. In other words, these heathen are only worried about what they can put in their mouth and what they could put over their bodies and where they can sleep. Don't you be worried about those things. You ought to be considering the spiritual aspects. You ought to be seeking the kingdom of God first. Don't be like the heathen. That was the admonition of the law. Not, don't ever talk to them, put your head down, don't look at them, don't visit them, don't tell them about the glories of God. That was not the point, but that was a tradition that Peter was brought up with, and that is the tradition that got him into trouble. How about these verses? Declare his glory among the heathen, his marvelous works among all nations. Where does that come from? That's the Old Testament. How about David saying something? Well, actually the same thing with different wording. Declare his glory among the heathen, his wonders among all people. Amen. Sounds like the gospel in the Old Testament, doesn't it? Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. And if God is going to be exalted, then the people of God got to be different than the heathen. Not that you put your nose in the air and look down at the heathen as contemptible or unclean or defiled, but that you exalt the Lord Jesus Christ in righteousness, walkingly holy, so that they can know of a truth God is in you. Amen. But these Jews, and Peter being under that influence of that tradition, had gotten so wrapped up in tradition that they forgot about the Word of God. Let me give you Paul's perspective of it. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, and this has an effect on us today. I think this is applied. I think it's similar that we should not, as believers, marry unbelievers.
Amen.
I think we as believers should not make covenants with unbelievers. It can get us into trouble. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 14. Paul advises, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, listen to it, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and my daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. What do you think that unclean thing is? It's not shaking hands with a Gentile. It's following the false gods of the Gentiles. It's following the unrighteous and unholy and immoral acts of the Gentiles. It's sleeping with a harlot. It's marrying among them those that are not going to follow God. And he tells us over and over again in the Testament, they will lead your sons astray. Amen. They will persuade you to follow other gods. Hello, Solomon.
Amen.
This is what Paul is saying. Be ye separate. He's not saying don't go and preach the gospel to them. He's not saying don't invite them over for dinner. He's not saying don't shake their hands. He says don't be partakers of their iniquity. Be different. Be holy. God Almighty is in you. Show forth that light and the darkness will flee from you. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 9. He's going to bring it home. I wrote unto you in an epistle not to company with fornicators. Let me tell you something. Fornicators are not just those out there in the world, the heathen. They might be sitting right here amongst us. And if we know about it, he's saying don't have company with them. Yet not, listen to what he says. Yet not altogether with fornicators of this world, or with the covetous, or extortioners, or with idolaters, for then must ye needs go out of the world. We'd have to go to the moon or somewhere. Yeah? But now I have written unto you not to keep company if any man that is called brother, a brother, be a fornicator or covetous or idolater or railer or drunkard or an extortioner, with such know not to eat. For what have I to do to judge them also that are without? Do you not judge them that are within? But them that are without, God judgeth. Therefore, put away from among yourselves that wicked person. He's saying, you must be holy. And you should not be in agreement with those that are unholy. There has to be a distinction. He says, separate yourselves, especially amongst the people of God. And that was the problem the Jews had. They were ready to condemn those heathen out there. They didn't want anything to do with them. They wouldn't look at them. They wouldn't talk to them. They wouldn't speak to them. But then what about when their idolatry, when idolatry took over with them? God says even to them, separate yourselves from them wicked Jews. He doesn't say Jews specifically, but those idolaters among you, separate yourself from them. Be different. We have the holy God, a true and righteous God. Paul said in Galatians 1 and verse 16 that Jesus Christ was revealed unto me. It says, he to reveal his son in me that I might preach Christ, preach him among whom? The heathen. Immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. So he went out and preached the gospel to everybody. Amen. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Not just the Jews, but to the uncircumcised as well. Yeah? All right, so I said that, and I'm going to conclude just in time. So do you remember when Peter and James and John, they go up to the mount, and they see Elijah and Moses? And what do? They're going to build tabernacles. Probably it was the time of the Feast of Tabernacles. I'm not exactly sure, but it lends to that idea. So, hey, here we got these prophets here. Let's go ahead and make some tabernacles here, and we'll just enjoy the Feast of the Tabernacles. And then they get this voice from heaven, and they see Jesus transfigured, and then they see what? Jesus only. The point being is, don't be get so tied up about these old Jewish feasts. Set your eyes on Jesus. Amen. That was a hint for Peter. Yeah, he's slowly bringing them. And if Peter would listen to what Jesus had said throughout his ministry, one of the problems that Peter had, and you and I have, is if we don't agree with it, we disagree with God. Instead of saying, God is always right, and I'm going to bend my feelings, my understanding, to his will. Instead of making God submit to my will. And that was a problem that Peter had, and that is a problem that you and I have, always trying to make God do it our way. Yeah? We think we're the Burger Kings. We get to have it our way. Maybe I'm not sure what... Was that McDonald's? Or I don't remember which. Burger Chef? I don't know which one, but... Ah, you're showing your age there. You remember Burger Chef. Then, in Acts chapter 10, if you remember, that great sheet comes down and all these different types of foods are on the sheet. And the Lord tells him, rise, Peter, slay and eat. He says, I'm not doing it, Lord. No way. I've never done that. I've been faithful to my tradition. I'm not going to do it. And he tells him, don't you call unclean or common that which I've cleansed. And Peter rightly understood that he's talking about getting the gospel not just to his tradition, but to all people. Yeah? But do you see there, the Lord is trying to show Peter, don't you worry about these dietary laws. There's a higher thing that you need to be focusing on. You need to be worried about the gospel, the spiritual. All of Jesus' sermons was that very thing. You guys are missing the point. You're worried about radishes and tithing or whatever, these small herbs. You're worried about this, and you're missing the big picture. Focus on Christ. Amen. And boy, if you want a book on that, you ought to read the book of Galatians. Because that's what Paul is hammering at home. And you talk about some vicious, mean words that he says. I mean, just without worrying about feelings. He directly speaks to them. He says, I wish you accursed if you preach anything else than what I'm preaching. And he says some other things in there as well. But this was Peter's dilemma. He had been brought up in this tradition. He started hearing the Word of God. The Word of God was in conflict with his tradition. His tradition was in conflict with the Word of God. He was seeing it with his head, but his emotions were still there. His customs were still there. His habits were still there. He was used to doing it that way. This is how we've always done it. But all of a sudden he's seeing, I need to go this way, I need to go this way. But then he had conflict because if he goes this way, when he comes into the meeting hall, he's going to have contention with the elders and the apostles. Paul wasn't that away. There's a big distinction about Paul. Paul got that vision from the Lord and he was convinced this was of God and I'm following God. I don't care what you think. And Peter was, he's sort of like us. He's saying, well, I see this is of God, you know, but, you know, I don't really, but not Paul. Paul says, man, I tell you what, I was zealous for the Lord before I got saved, and now I'm really zealous for the Lord, and this is directly from God, and I'm telling you, this is the way to go, and I'm going, and I don't care what you think. Well, Peter, he was a little bit worried about their faces. And Paul says something, if I be a, and I'm just paraphrasing, if I be a pleaser of men, I can't please God. And Peter was learning that lesson. I think Paul, he just had it figured out. Peter, it just took time, like it takes time with us. And that was the point of this lesson this month, that Peter is so much like us that we need to learn from his mistakes, not to be afraid of men. Once you get the word from the Lord, once you know it's the will of God, then go for it. Don't worry about what people say. Yeah, because you got the Word of God, and I'm not talking about something that's unclear. I'm something that is very clear. The gospel. Take your stand on the gospel. It's not Christ and baptism. It's not Christ and a sacrament. It's not Christ and the church. It's not Christ and whatever you want to say. It's not Christ and Mary. It's not Christ and the saints. It's not Christ and the priests. It's not Christ and the elders. It's not Christ and your church. It's Christ alone. And preach Him. And let the chips fall where they may. You may lose a family member. You may have some problems. There will be contentions. But preach Christ. And that was the lesson that Peter had to learn. I believe he learned it. I believe he learned it the hard way through the school of hard knocks like you and I. It has to be beaten into us a few times and we gotta go through it. But that's part of the Christian life. Really it is. And I hope that was a blessing to you. We'll see you in a few months. And we may or may not pick up the epistles of Peter. We'll see what the Lord does. Let's take a break and afterwards we'll have the preaching.
Good job. Keep it up. You're on fire.
Thank you, sir.